Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the WISE event. We are DRN's WIPA program, and we've got a lot more acronyms for you. But WIPA stands for the Work Incentive Planning and Assistance Program, and we do exactly that. We assist you, young people and families, to understand what Social Security has in terms of incentives to help you go to work. Because I see quite a few parents in this room. And being a parent myself, I do understand that one of our goals in life is to get you out into the workforce. So Social Security happens to believe the same thing. And what they did was put a program together, free of charge, that offers you and your children individual counseling to help you make the decisions that you need to make in order to complete your career goals. So this afternoon we have a brief presentation, and we have really great information. You'll find people throughout the room available to help you. We're here afterwards to entertain questions. We have a toll-free number where you can reach us and ask us questions. Free, confidential services to help you go on to the next step. Because no one in this room has spent all the time, money, and everything else to have you sit home after school with that remote control. So, having said that, I will proceed with this program. What can you expect from this seminar? More income, independence. You can expect to learn about new skills that may be available and meet new people. Now, on this little list, can anyone tell me what their favorite reason to go to work might be? Yes, ma'am.
To meet new people.
Very important. You can't meet them at home sitting on the couch with the remote control. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Learn new skills.
How important is that? What kind of new skill do you have in mind? What would you like to learn?
Well, I like to learn how to associate with other privileged people within the urban areas and how to help them and how to identify with them.
Well, I think that is a worthy ambition. Thank you. Anybody else?
More income.
I knew somebody was going to say that. But it's very interesting that out of all the comments you heard from the young people in the room, the one that you didn't hear was more income. But I will step out on a limb and say more money is good. All right? How about independence? Anybody want to speak on that one? No parent wants to speak on the fact that these children are going to someday leave your house? All right. So you all agree. Yes, ma'am.
I think it's because I still live with my parents and I'm 19.
Okay.
And I actually think it's best for us to be more independent because I don't want to live with my parents when they're old. I love my parents.
I got you. Believe me, we understand.
But I don't want to be the one to have to help them and do this and
okay.
But,
we can stop there.
But no, don't get me wrong.
I'm not going to get you wrong.
But I love my parents and they do everything for me, but it's time for me to actually start doing things for myself.
Yes.
And start learning how to drive and learning how to do other things without them.
Absolutely.
Because they're not going to always take me to the doctor. They're not always going to take me to the dentist and everything. But I got to learn how to start paying my own bills, paying my gas, paying my oil, and doing all of that. And it would actually be really fun for me to learn how to do all of that.
Really fun to learn independence. Thank you. All right. Now, that's spoken by somebody we did not plan in the audience. My administrator doesn't think I'm loud enough, but I know you guys do. Okay. These are questions that come up when people are thinking about going to work and they're receiving Social Security benefits. The first thing we hear is, will I lose my benefits? The next thing we hear is, cash benefits or really a major important one is health care. Because formerly, people that had disabilities and decided that they wanted to go to work, the first thing they would do is lose their health care. And we would get calls from places like OVR and support people that would say, oh my gosh, I just helped somebody get a job, and they called me and told me that they lost their health care. Well, who in the world would want to take employment if they could not have access to affordable health care? So again, this is one of the services that is available to you, and there are many options. And when you call the WIPA program, we meet you where you are, in the process, and we identify resources that will help you maintain your work goals. How do I get the skills that I need? Now, this young man back here that spoke to us earlier, he has an idea about what it is that he wants to do. I wonder if he knows some places or some employment networks that may be able to help him reach these goals. Do you?
Yes, there are. There, within the Philadelphia area, there's shelters, and there is rehab facilities, and there are specific centers meant for employment that can help this underprivileged person who might have just been laid off get started again.
Okay. Well, today you are going to meet some employment networks that have joined us that are actually in the business of helping you to obtain your career goals. And you know what? We have been around the state in different places, and we do get the there are none. But there are some, and again, today we are here to identify who they are and how you can make contact with them. What if I stop working? Another really important question. You got the job, and maybe you've worked a year, and your disability flares up, and you can no longer work. Well, you want to know what it is that you can expect. You want to know that you can go into the Social Security office, report that you are no longer working, and have your claim reopened in an expedited manner. Okay, this is very important. These are things that you deserve to know. You also deserve to have a program that can answer these questions for you on an individual basis. So this part of our program, we're actually going to talk about some of the work incentives that Social Security has put in place. We're very honored today to have a Social Security representative with us that's going to talk to you a little later in the program. But for right now, I'm going to have a counselor, Ms. Jessica Raji, from our WIPA program, that's going to talk to you about work incentives. That would be Social Security Disability, SSDI, supplemental security income, SSI, and for those people that are receiving both benefits, SSDI and SSI, they're called concurrent beneficiaries, and there's also some things in place to help them along. So, Jessica, you got a great group here that I can tell is going to have a lot of questions.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm so glad to see that you're all here, made it out on this beautiful Saturday. As Phyllis said, I'm going to talk about the work incentives, specifically those for SSDI and SSI. And Phyllis, if you can flip to the next slide for me, that would be great. Work incentive advantages. They provide a safety net so that you can return to work or go to work for the first time and make that transition a smooth one. Our goal is to educate you so that you can feel empowered and hopefully lessen some of those fears and concerns you have about returning to work. Not only will these work incentives allow you to try different jobs, some of them will allow you to be trained for different skills, gain confidence, and maybe start a new career if you have worked before. We're going to first talk about the SSDI work incentives. Please flip, Phyllis. What happens if I go to work and I'm receiving SSDI? Well, the first incentive you get to use is a 9-month trial work period. The nice thing about the trial work period is it allows you to go work, figure out what you want to do, how much you want to work, how much you can work. Maybe you think, I want to work full time. And you start out, and after a little bit, you think, this full time is not for me. I just can't do it, so I would like to work part time. Or maybe vice versa. Maybe you start out part time and you're doing really well, and the job's a great match for you, so you decide, I'd like to work a little bit more, maybe work my way up to full-time. The trial work period allows you to do that. And even if you have significant earnings, it will not affect your disability check. You get to keep your SSD check. You get to keep your Medicare. And on top of that, during the trial work period, you get your paycheck as well. So you have this great increase of income and try out something new.
I have a question. Could you explain the difference between SSDI and SSI?
Surely. SSDI, Social Security Disability Insurance, is an insurance program that Social Security has. When you see your pay stub, there's a whole bunch of taxes that are taken out of it. One tax is a FICA tax, F-I-C-A. And that's where the Social Security Disability Insurance money comes from. It is there so that way then if you need to go out on disability, that's where Social Security pulls from. It's from a work history of some kind, either from your own work history, or from a parent's work history. If the individual was diagnosed with an illness or impairment before the age of 22 and mom or dad worked and is now retired or deceased, the child can receive from a parent. Or maybe a person was married and their spouse worked and paid into Social Security. And now their spouse is deceased, they can receive disability that way as well. SSI, on the other hand, supplemental security income, is a needs-based program. Individuals who are young can receive it if they have a disability. Elderly can receive it. People in between can receive SSI if they meet the needs-based income levels. So that one's not about work. That one's about low income and other criteria. Does that answer your question? Okay. Yes.
Along those lines, I am looking at retiring in perhaps the end of this school year. I'm a teacher. So right now she gets SSI, but then do I have to apply for her to get SSDI, or does she not get that? How does that work?
We certainly can ask Social Security that question. Alex, would you like to address that question for us?
You don't have to apply for her. She's going to continue to receive. When you go in, you do want to mention that she has a disability, and at that time they'll discuss whether they'll take a claim for your child at that time.
Okay, so when I go to retire, mm-hmm.
then I just mention that?
Yes.
Okay.
And they'll decide, they'll take a claim at that time or not. But they'll go into that. You do want, because they'll ask you that question when you file for your benefits, if you have any children at home that are disabled.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Alex.
You're welcome.
All right. So trial work period. Great first incentive. You get to work and have it not affect your disability check. You get to keep receiving that as well as your health insurance, your Medicare. What happens if I stop work after I complete my trial work period? Well, fortunately, there's another incentive that starts right after the trial work period. It's called the extended period of eligibility. And if you are not working when you enter that, a couple months into it, if you decide that you start work again, it gives you the reassurance that if I am not able to receive my SSD check because of my income level, Social Security looks for a certain income level during the extended period, and if you meet or exceed that level, you wouldn't be eligible to receive your check for that month. So it allows you to try, do I want to work off my benefits maybe? It allows you to try that out knowing that I'm not going to be terminated from my benefits. I'm not going to lose those benefits. I can simply, as I'm reporting to Social Security that I'm working, I can simply report to them, hey, I'm no longer making those big bucks that I was. I'm making underneath the limit that you're looking for. So don't forget to send me my SSD check. After that extended period is over, there's even another work incentive that is out there. It's called expedited reinstatement. And all that big fancy term means is, if I am terminated from my benefits because my earnings after that extended period is completed, I can go back to Social Security and say, I need my check to be reinstated because I'm no longer working. My impairment or my illness or something related to it is keeping me from being employed. And that is a 5-year window from your date of termination where you can go back to Social Security, and you do not have to reapply for those benefits. So it gives you another window of opportunity to keep working. Other work incentives that can reduce the amount of your earnings that SSA counts. There are several other incentives that are more person-specific, so we won't go into them too much today, but that's certainly something that the WIPA team would be happy to talk with you individually about. There's something called an impairment-related work expense that is great for those of you who maybe need particular items in order for you to get to work. And without those particular items, you wouldn't be able to work. So for maybe a person who is in a wheelchair and has to take a special van, somebody has to come and pick them up, take them to work, and then pick them up from work to take them home. They can't get on SEPTA. They can't get in a regular cab. They need a special bus, and they're paying for that out of their own pocket. That can be considered an IRWE, is what it's called, impairment-related work expense. And Social Security can look at that expense, especially if a person is working at a higher income level, and take that into consideration. What happens to Medicare if SSDI benefits stop? Good news, it continues for at least 93 months after the trial work period is completed. So even if you're working in your extended period and you aren't eligible to receive your SSD check, you still get to keep that Medicare, which we all know is very important. And after that, you may be able to purchase Medicare coverage if you need it and want it. Now we're moving on to the SSI work incentives. Go ahead and flip for me, Phyllis, please, if you wouldn't mind. How earnings affect SSI payments. SSA counts less than half of your earned income. And we'll just read the example that's up here. For example, if I earned $885 in wages, Social Security is not going to look at that whole amount that I earned. They're only going to look at $400 and count it against my SSI. And Social Security always works in gross figures, just to keep that in the back of your head, so they look at it before taxes. And certain impairment-related work expenses can also be deducted from your gross wages. So those impairment-related work expenses can work for both SSD and SSI. What happens if my earnings are so high that my SSI stops? Well, you're still considered an SSI beneficiary, even if you're not receiving that cash benefit. Your benefits can start again if you stop working or your earnings decrease, just like with SSDI. Okay. If your earnings are so high that your SSI payments stop, guess what? Your health insurance continues. There's a great provision that Social Security has put into place to allow you to keep that Medicaid, those health benefits that you need in order to be able to continue working. You may be eligible to do a plan to achieve self-support, a PASS. PASS plan is great, especially for those transition youth, which are a majority of you here today. That's what this seminar is for. For those of you who maybe would like to do some additional schooling so that you can become a nurse or go into another job field, this PASS plan allows you to set aside money into a separate account and not have it count as a resource for Social Security, which we all know is a big thing for those on SSI. Resources are very limited. But in a PASS plan, if those monies are set aside, it's not looked at as a resource. As long as there's an employment goal of some kind, somebody may want to start their own business. So the monies that are set aside in this PASS plan are geared for starting an own business from point A to point Z. It is a great, great plan. If you get both SSI and SSD, guess what? All of these things I just talked about apply for you. So please come and talk to one of us so that we can help you keep it all straight. I will say, if there are specific questions that you have regarding you, please come talk to one of us afterwards, so that way then we can get more information from you and talk one-on-one with you. But if it's a general question that you think would help out others, please feel free to ask.
What survivor's benefits, SSDI, and how would that work? Because they're with income and the different race war. Someone was receiving survivor's benefits, right?
Mm-hmm. So how does that work out? Alex, I will let you answer that one.
Well, there's definitely different income rules for survivor benefits and retirement benefits. So I can talk to you afterwards if you want to discuss that type of thing. But there will be different limits that would apply to someone that would receive that benefit.
Okay. Okay, because that may be for anyone, because a lot of people are maybe receiving survivor's benefits and they would like to know how that works, how this would work for someone who's receiving survivor's benefits.
Okay, well, these are for if you're working and receiving disability benefits. So that's another type of benefit. So that would be a different earnings limit for that benefit. These are special rules that apply when you're working and you're disabled.
Is someone with a disability who is receiving survivor's benefits?
What I would like to say is that's more of a less general question. It can be answered, and if we could sit down and get more information from you, we'd be glad to address that question.
All right.
There's other questions?
Hi, good afternoon. I've heard you say several times, I believe you said there's this earning grid. Is there something on the website that says if you earn this much, you get this much in benefits, so people can just look it up for themselves so they can almost kind of figure out how they're going to manage their lives if that's a, you know, way to think about it? Because like I said, I keep hearing it, and I've tried to look for this grid without waiting an hour on the phone to get the numbers on, you know, what is the income guidelines to receive benefits. I just think that would be helpful if it was somewhere where people can get their hands on it.
To receive disability benefits or income guidelines for work?
Both, because you talked about disability benefits, and I think you talked about work, too, and you're saying you have to meet the guideline. I know the guidelines for Pennsylvania may be different than for Washington State. So how does, if I'm at the transition meeting for my child and I'm trying to see which way I want to go with this, I would like to bring that document to the IEP table saying, okay, well, if he wants to do this type of job and make this type of money, how's that going to affect? It just helps to have that document instead of guessing or saying, when I call Social Security, this is what they said on the phone, because schools aren't very receptive to hearsay. They need documents.
I think I'm understanding what you're asking. If not, please clarify it for me. So if a child is already receiving benefits from Social Security, what are the income guidelines?
There has to be a grid. When you call Social Security, they're looking at a grid. We as parents, family members would like to see that same grid. There has to be a grid somewhere that we all can see. How do you get that grid that they're looking at?
I'm sorry? Oh. Okay. You're understanding better than I am.
I think what I'm hearing you say is that you want to see a grid where this person can earn this and that person can earn that depending on whatever. But actually, it works depending on what program your child is receiving benefits from. And that is why Social Security had the foresight to put our program into effect. Now, they have materials. One of the great resources is called the Red Book, and it's written by Social Security. And without a lot of direction, you actually have one. We gave you one in your packet today. But it shows you how Social Security looks at the program you are receiving. There is a red book in it. Yes, that's it. Red book, and it's actually red. Okay? So that there's lots of information in there that depends on what program your child is collecting from. But what makes it really good is the fact that you don't have to decipher all of that for yourself. What you have to do is know that you have contact information in your package that allows you to call and ask us about your specific issue, because everyone is not the same. One size does not fit all. Does that answer your question somewhat? Okay. You think she's asking?
I think she's asking WERB versus SSI.
Okay. Again, it really depends on what program your child is collecting under. Now, I could throw out a number and say that this year, in the year of 2009, a person receiving SSDI benefits is allowed to make $980 a month gross without it affecting their benefits. And I can throw that out there at you all day long. But believe me, that does you no good at all if your child is receiving SSI, because it's figured out differently if your child goes to work. That's why I'm saying it's an individual thing. One size doesn't fit all. We couldn't just throw numbers out and say your child can make, you know, when we first started this job years ago, people were telling young people graduating, spent 12, 14 years in school, you can earn $65 a month. Okay? We have to get away from that thinking. What we have to do is use the incentives that have been put in place to help people reach their individual goals, and that's going to take a counseling session. Okay? So again, throwing out numbers arbitrarily is not doing you any good. Sitting down with you and your child on a face-to-face basis and showing you how it works by the laws that have been written to help them is what is going to make the difference here. I hope that helps. And I certainly hope that if you have other questions that aren't addressed here at this seminar today, we have sheets in the back at the table, and we asked you, would you like a counseling session? Would you like someone to call you? That's why we're not really addressing the personal issues here, more of general, but we do look to hear from you with your questions. Someone else.
Yes.
Yeah, I got a question. And you answered part of it, like the night, like throwing out the figure $980 a month. Okay. Why is it before taxes? Because what's the sense in going to work once you get your city, your state, your county, and then the good old income tax, and you find out, like, I don't know whether anybody's aware of this, but you got your new Blue Cross and Blue Shield books, that the coverage has jumped substantially. My coverage has gone from $125 to $193 a month. Now, you go out, you need it, we need a job to supplement this health insurance. We have Medicare and Blue Cross, okay? If you're going to make $980 before taxes, what's the incentive of going to work? Because you're not even going to be taking home enough money to help you, you know, pay that extra money you have to put out for your health insurance. I mean, I don't get it. Why is it before taxes?
Okay. And
if
you
I put that home, I'd be happy.
I hear you. And can I answer that question about why Social Security looks at gross? No.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Do I feel your pain?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean,
because I'm also dealing with people that are looking at my gross also. But what I do want to say to you is, if you contacted our WIPA program and you said, I want to go to work, but all this doesn't make sense, show me the money, then you and I would be having a discussion about maybe a cheaper insurance program that you might that might be available to you.
Well, see, we live in Montgomery County. And
it's okay. This is for the state of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but still, it's just like there's a difference in the coverages, even for Aetna. And if you read your book,
there is absolutely a difference in coverage. But there also are some options out there that we would love to discuss with you.
Yeah, but when you're over the limit for the Medicare options to help you pay for that by $200, $300, you're screwed. So you got to carry your own health insurance.
Oh, good word. But
I don't mean to put it, but you literally are. There's no other way to put it.
Okay. Well, literally, there are some other options. Because a person that chooses to use the MAUDE program, we have people that work and make $40,000 a year. And that are, yeah. And that's also in your package. Okay. But we give out a lot of material today. And this is the reason that we're having this conference, because we want to address these questions. I mean, some, like, why do they look at my gross? We're working with what we got.
Yeah.
Okay? But having said that, when you go to work, you always end up with more money than you had before you started.
Yeah,
thank you for your question. And I hope that you sign the page so that we can take a look in more detail at your individual issue of insurance, which is a very important one. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
I think what this woman is trying to say, if you even do have an appointment and say your specific, you know, where you're getting your SSI or SSDI, and they put it, say you get so much a month, I think she needs something documented, because I know I've gone to many years of IEPs.
Mm-hmm.
Does she come out with something to prove what she's trying to say to them, how much money her daughter would receive if going to work or so on? Am I correct?
Well,
yes.
If that is what her question is, yes, that is what the WIPA program does. The WIPA program looks at the benefit the person is receiving. We verify everything with Social Security, and we provide you with a written summary of exactly how going to work is going to affect your benefits. And again, it is not a one-size-fits-all. It is very individual service. And before we tell you anything, everything has to be verified from Social Security so that we are giving you the proper and correct information. And thank you for clarifying that.
Hi.
Another question.
Hi. Is it mandatory for you to get into the Ticket to Work program?
That's another great question. And that's the next part of our program. How did you know?
Mm-hmm.
We brought Social Security here.
Disability.
Okay. We brought Social Security here today, and she is going to talk. Our representative here today is Ms. Alexis Byers, and she is going to talk about Ticket to Work, because we get a lot of questions. Okay? And thank you so much. Let me just check the room to see before we move on with the program if there are any other questions that... Yes, ma'am.
We're not getting Social Security benefits right now, and I just want to know how to start that ball rolling.
There's a couple of different ways you can file for disability benefits or for SSI benefits. You can call and make an appointment. You can do it over the telephone, or you can come into the office. You can also file for benefits online. It's right on our website. The first page, it says to apply for disability. If you click on there, that will start the process for an adult or for a child. www.socialsecurity.gov.
That's also in your packet of information. Okay, before we get to Alexis, because I can see you guys are really excited about hearing from her, I did want to mention that the best thing is a success story. Ms. Hilly, you're up here talking about this, and if we do this, we can get that. But how about the fact that there are people that had questions just as you've got today, and they stepped out on a limb and they took those jobs, and we have someone here with us today. This is Michelle Leary, and I want to tell you how important this population is to us, and I mean transitioned age youth. We need you guys working. That Social Security fund is dipping, and we need some help. But beside that, we want you to know that there is honor in all work. And again, we know everybody's not going through everything that they're going through to sit home in the television and say, woe is me. If you can dream it, you can be it. Okay? You are so important to us as a country that these incentives were put in place to encourage you to do just that, to get out and do the best you can do. Not everybody's going to be a lawyer, doctor. I mean, you've got poor little people like me that want to work and make a living. And you have people that have dreams of doing and being everything under the sun. Don't let anything limit or stop you. So when we come to success stories, we think of our own Michelle Leary because she is a CWIC who works with transitioned age youth. That's her only job. They want her to get out and talk to families and talk to people and say, see what I did, see what you can do. So I'm going to turn the mic over to Michelle and just let her talk to you a little bit. Thank you.
Well, you guys heard me in the at our little dessert with Bill, so I will try to make this a little bit more interesting and brief. One of the reasons why I love my job as a transition work incentive coordinator is because growing up, I received SSI, and I had the same fears that many parents, my parents had the same fears. Oh, my God, I'm going to lose those benefits. I can only work 20 hours a week. And I was going to college, and I was doing all this great stuff, and I was scared that it was all going to go away, and it doesn't go away. And one of the biggest things is that in this job, I have students that are actually working while they're in school and not losing a penny of their SSI benefits. And that there's different gimmicks. These work incentives that Phyllis and Jessica has all talked about, they're little gimmicks within the Social Security program. And they actually are gimmicks to help you go out to work and to get infected with getting that paycheck. Because I know one thing, I'd rather get 26 or 52 paychecks a year, weekly paychecks, instead of 12 measly months. That's like a big deal to me because I know by the 15th of that month, that check is almost gone. One of the things is that a couple of the people that I've worked with have actually started to go to work while they were in school, And the reason why is they were actually putting into taxes. They were starting to receive their SSI benefits while they were in school, doing the IUs or going into and getting competitively employed while in school and achieving that student-earned income exclusion where they didn't lose a penny of their benefits. But they had to tell Social Security. Social Security is going to come knocking on your door and say, hello, are you still in school? Hello, these work incentives are here for you. They don't really do that. You have to be proactive, and you have to let Social Security know that you are a student, that you're receiving SSI, and you want to go out to work, and you're capable of going out to work. So one of my students that I'm working with right now, who's like 23, he's actually not a student anymore. He started to work when he was 18. And when he was 18, he was working at Gennardi's, doing the whole big thing, working, going to school, living the life. And he was a person with mental retardation, Down syndrome. And what Mark did is he actually worked while he was in school. Then he graduated. And so he was still infected with this idea of going out to work, that he was earning enough money that he always, because he was receiving SSI, he always made more money and was able to balance his paycheck on a weekly basis along with that supplemental security income. So he was able to add the entire monthly countable income that he was receiving, and being able to budget on a weekly basis instead of always depending on that first of the month. Then 3 years went by, and guess what happened? Mark was eligible for SSDI. He was entitled to that SSDI benefit because he put into the system. He put into the system, so he was entitled to get out of the system. And when he was 18, he was eligible for SSI, and that's a huge difference. When you're receiving SSI, you are eligible for the benefit. When you are receiving SSDI, you're entitled to the benefit. And that's a big difference because we were talking about gross income. You were talking about that $980. But the reason why they count that is because you're actually, when you're earning a paycheck, you're putting into the system. I would rather be entitled and eligible for both benefits. And that's what happened with Mark. He became entitled to SSDI based on his own work history. And the younger you are, the less work history credits. I don't know if some of you are close to retirement age, but the thing is that when you're getting into 40 years or 30 years, you're like, how many quarters am I getting? Everybody talks about their quarters closer to when they're retirement. So what the thing is, the younger you are, the less amount of quarters you need to be entitled to your SSDI benefit. So Mark actually became entitled to SSDI, didn't receive enough money through SSDI, so he still became eligible for his SSI benefit, was able to work, still have a slight reduction in his SSI. So he's getting three forms of income. He's getting his SSI check, he's getting his earned income from working at Gennardi's, and he's getting his SSDI check. And then he was like, I want to go back to school. He wants to become more of a culinary artiste. So what Mark is doing, and Mark is in the process is actually of develop that plan for achieving self-support. So what Mark is actually doing is taking his entire SSDI check and sticking that into a separate savings account. So he can actually, all our unearned income, countable unearned income is counted dollar for dollar to the SSI. So he's taking that unearned income, and I know this is confusing, and I don't want you to, there's not going to be a quiz at the end of this, but I just want you to understand this concept that working is an achievable goal, and working is a good thing. So what happens is that Mark is actually going for a pass so he can become more marketable. and more and be able to earn more income. So he's not so dependent on those two checks. But he's still receiving both his Medicare, his Medicaid, and his waiver services through the Montgomery County Assistance Office. And that's also a big deal because a lot of people are scared that they're going to lose their PFDS waivers or their OBRA waivers or their attendant care waivers. And these, and I want to take that fear out of this room. You don't need to be fearful of this. And talk to one of us. Talk to DRN. Talk to AHEAD. And these are things that we can do. And this ticket also helps with providing additional job support, additional job coaching, additional, and protects you from different things that may happen within Social Security. Any questions? I know I'm a bit of a Pollyanna because I love my job.
Well, Michelle, I mean, that's the first time I've heard it explained the way you just did it, and that was excellent. And I know that it can be, but you have, first of all, you need to know the system, because you, what you're saying to me is that this person knew how to maneuver the system to get all of the services and supports that they need. That was excellent. But parents, families are very scared. They don't know that. And if we can clone you to come to school, district, parent meetings, or whatever, because the fear is that their children are going to lose their benefits. That is clear. I mean, I've been in many parent meetings, and that is, they are afraid. As soon as you say work, they don't want to hear it.
Yes.
You know, so it's that stigma, you know, and only thing I can say to you guys is that y'all need to outreach more and talk and let families know exactly how you maneuver the system like that. I understand it perfectly.
I am trying, and I've been out there for a year and a couple months, and I've been knocking on every school district's door. And if you could get me in their door, I will go. You tell me, I will grow wings on this.
When you say that, you know, just like, you know, you are entitled to Social Security disability benefits and how you can use those Social Security benefits to bank, you know, for you're actually banking.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, it's just excellent. I never heard anybody explain it the way you just did. And I just wish that more parents understood that.
Good. I think it sounds like you all agree that Michelle is a success story. But so is each and every one of you and your children who are going to go on to the next step. So we're going to move on with the program, and the next part of it is to talk about another work incentive that Social Security has in place, and it's called Ticket to Work. But just before that, we'll say that Social Security has put in place a number of things to help you, because as you pointed out, parents don't know this. How would they? Okay? That is why the program was put in place, to answer these questions and to help you maneuver your way and navigate your way to help your child with a better, brighter future by choosing to work. So we have something called employment networks, and we actually bought some employment networks here today. Michelle is from an employment network. She's from a network called AHEAD. We also have some other employment networks in the room, and they're going to address you after Alex Byers talks to us a little bit about the ticket. So there you see you have Work Incentives Planning and Assistance Program with the acronym of WIPA, and that's who we are. Again, there is something and someone in place to answer these questions that keep you up at night. Okay, operations and support manager is Maximus. They are the ones that administer the Ticket to Work program. We have state protection and advocacy. And though that is the host of that program today, is our PABS program. And I'd like to introduce Jennifer Garman. She's another part of this big puzzle to help you reach self-sufficiency.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Jennifer Garman, and as I said earlier today, I am the PABS project director in the state of Pennsylvania and a staff attorney with the Disability Rights Network of Pennsylvania.